Bibles this morning, the 1 Kings chapter number 9. 1 Kings chapter number 9. There's a couple messages that are hard to prepare for different reasons. One of the hardest messages to prepare each year is Mother's Day, just because of the fact that you want to get the right message for Mother's Day, just because if not, you get in trouble. That was a joke. Second thing is, Father's Day is a tough one because it's one of the more convicting messages. Every time when I get the opportunity to write a message and the Lord speaks to my heart through the Word of God, there's always a point of conviction that God speaks to my heart about something, and that's what I try to share to you. But when it comes to Father's Day, it's always a very convicting message because I want to be a better father. I want better fathers in our church. I want better fathers in America. I want the way that our world's going to change is when our homes change. And when individuals change, individuals are going to help change our homes, which are going to help change our churches, which are going to help change our country. And it really should start with the head, which is the husband and the father. Here in the, it's one of the most sobering realities and one of the most convicting thoughts is that many times what children do is the same thing that their fathers do. There's a phrase in the Bible. It says that they walked in the ways of his father. And there's that phrase, and that's repeated a number of times. We're going to look at that in a second. But not only do many times the sons and the daughters walk in the ways of their fathers, and that's convicting because you want to make sure that you're walking the right way. If you know your son's going to be following behind you or your daughter's going to be following behind you, and you want to make sure you're headed the right direction because you want them to succeed also. But also, many times what a child image or shape they have of God is what they find in their father. Children, what they think about God is shaped many times how they interact with their fathers. And fathers have a tremendous responsibility to represent the Heavenly Father to their families. But this is more than an obligation, though. This is a opportunity. If we're willing to invest time, discipline, and love into our children, the results are wonderful and everlasting. Plus, they raise good grandkids. That's nice. So I want you to think about some things today. And the first part is just the thought about how we follow or walk in the ways of our father. And that's the earthly fathers that we're talking about. But then to try to encourage us to walk in the ways of our heavenly father too. Let's look here in 1 Kings chapter number 9. And in 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles is where you find this walking in the ways of the fathers is based with a lot of the kings. And sometimes it was after wickedness. Sometimes it was after good things. And here in 1 Kings chapter number 9, you see the testimony is given about Solomon. It says, it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him in Gibeah. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of his heart, and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. And I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fall thee a man upon the throne of Israel. So why did you start here? Well, this is the spot. God is speaking to him, and he says, if you'll walk in the ways of David, how he walked in the integrity of his heart and in uprightness, and he did all the things that the Lord commanded. And so what God was saying there was that as David followed after me, as David walked in my ways, and if you are willing to walk in David's ways, you will have great, great success. But that's not just the only spot where you see this. You take your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse number 3, you have another story about another king. And we're going to move quickly through these. If you like to follow along, you can. Or if you just like to listen as we read some of these verses. 1 Kings chapter 15 verse number 3. And it says, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Now here's the thought here, is that he walked not after the right ways, not after the ways of David, not after the ways of the Lord, but he walked after the sins of his father. Go down to verse number 26. Verse 26, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. Go to chapter 16, verse number 2. It says, for as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam and hast made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. Another person that's walking after their fathers and doing the same things their fathers did. You go to chapter 22, in chapter 22, and verse number 52. You have another sad story. The Bible says in chapter 22, verse 52, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam and the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. We see here in 1 Kings that at least at four different occasions, and be honest with you, there was many more that they said that they walked after the sins of their fathers. It doesn't get any better. In 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, the Bible says, and he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did as did the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. There he's following after his father-in-law. Chapter 21, 21. And he walked in all the way of his father, walked in and served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. You know, over and over, you see that these sons are walking in the ways of their fathers. But it's not just all bad. There was good kings. There was a lot more bad kings than there was good kings. But there were some good kings. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 43. And he walked in the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered burnt incense yet in high places. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Here's the thing, is that as fathers, our kids will walk after us. Many times the same things that we struggle with as fathers, if we do not fight the battle and get things taken care of, these are the same pathways that our kids will go. The Bible teaches us in a couple places in Psalms, they use this phrase, our fathers have told us. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old. Psalms chapter 78, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Children learn so much from their fathers because at a young age, many times, they desire to be just like their dad. It's an amazing thing, but if you look back, most young people, especially young men, boys, even sometimes girls, they want to be like their dad. There's even songs and poems that are written about it. There is a song that says, Lord, I want to be just like you because he wants to be just like me. And he says he wanted to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. And this is where the motivating factor should be. This is where the encouragement, we should want to be like Jesus Christ because our children at one point in time and their innocency of their youth, they look to their mom and mostly they even look to their father and says, that's what I want to be like. And we need to remember that. And that's supposed to be convicting. I know that's convicting to me because, you know what, I want to be like Christ. If my child wants to be like me, I want to be like him so he can end up being like him also. I know about 5 years ago I read this little poem, and I think it's kind of cute. It's a little video. It's a YouTube video, and if you want to go look at it and watch it sometime, it has a little bit of a rocky music in it, so I don't want to say it was appropriate for the church service. But this is a little poem that this little boy says to his dad. He says, Dad, you don't know it right now, but I'm watching you. Watching the things you do. I watch the way you treat people. The way you treat me and my mom and my sister. The way you live your life is having a big impact on me. When it's time for me to choose a career and provide for my family, your work ethic will be on my mind. The time you spent with me, even doing simple things, will give me a sense of security. There will be times in my life when I struggle with integrity, and I may not be sure what to do, but I will recall how you stood up for what was right, even if you could have looked the other way. Some of the choices you are making, I will also make. Please don't be afraid to show me your failures, to show me your mistakes. I will learn from them. Dad, are you listening? I'm watching you, watching to see if you really believe what you say about God. I need you to help show me the way, Show me how to live a life that isn't safe but is good. So I am watching you, Dad, every day. You're teaching me how to live, whether you know it or not. And the truth is, our children are watching us. And I've come to the realization that our children are many times learn more by how we walk than how we talk. They pick up so much more by the things that they are taught by our actions than with our words. So just for a minute, bear with me, and it can be whether it's wife or whether it's father, whether it's husband or wife, you can make this application. But if someone was following after your path, what type of road would you leave them on? And in the reality, this is intended to be convicting because we all have people that we mentor. We all have people that we influence. We all have people that look to us in one way or another. Maybe in different types of ways. Maybe in different types of authority. Maybe in just friendships. Maybe if just looking for some friendship or just some help. But if someone was following after you, as the Bible is talking about walking in the ways of our Father, if someone was walking in after our ways, would they love God with all their heart? If someone was following your path and they were doing it, if your child was going to be just like you and they were following after your path, like Solomon followed after David, after Uzzah's son followed after him, and after all those other wicked kings follow after their wicked king's fathers, if they were going to follow after you, would they love God with all their heart? How would they treat their mate? And this is, once again, it's convicting. Because of the fact that, you know, the relationships you have, your child watches it, and that's where they determine many times how they're going to treat the person they marry and how they're going to treat someday the grandkids that you're going to want. How much of the Bible would they know if they were following your pathways? Would they pray with their family on a regular basis? If someone was following your pathway, would they be faithful to church? Would they witness to those that were lost? If someone was following your pathway, how would they embrace their biblical role in their family? See, they learn so much from us. And they understand. And you say, well, I'm a teenager. I don't have to listen to this. But you know what? You have peers. You have friends. You have younger people. And you embracing your role of obeying and honoring your father and your mother can speak volumes to other young people. So this is just as much for you. But how are they going to treat and take their role in their family? How will they provide for their families? If they were going to follow after your pathway, would they be lazy, be called a sluggard or a sloth? Would they be involved in the church and its ministry? Remember, there are people that are watching you, and the Bible talked about in 1 Kings and in 1 Chronicles and 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, they walked after the way of their fathers, and their fathers many times led them right into a pathway of sin and destruction. But you know what the cool thing is? You don't have to go that same way. I know that sometimes we have fathers and mothers that are earthly that are fall short of the Word of God, that maybe are not Christians, and that they don't always do what they're supposed to. And the cool thing about the message is we might not always want to walk in the ways of our earthly father, but we have a heavenly father we can walk after. So the first thing is, and this is supposed to be hopefully a conviction to you, is that am I walking in a way that's going to please the Lord? If my son or my daughter or my grandson or my granddaughter, or if my wife or my husband was following in the same pathway that I was following, where would they end up? Would they be on that list of they did that which was right and they did that which was good in the sight of the Lord? Or would they be on that list that they were doing evil and wickedness? Those things that we struggle with. Many times, they are the sins that are passed down from generation to generation. Now, it can be broken by walking in the ways of our Heavenly Father. Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter number 12, there is an interesting thing that I think was pretty cool for Father's Day. Luke chapter 12, we have the Lord Jesus Christ talking. And as he's speaking, he uses the words, our Father. Now, I think it's pretty interesting that in the Gospels, Jesus uses the words, my Father, 53 times. Now, when he doesn't just use the word my Father, because it's not just, he's not just his Father, but he uses the words, our Father, 21 times. And Jesus is using this as an example that he is not only his Father, but he is our Father. And he also uses the words, your Father, 21 times too in the Bible. I don't know about you, but that's saying that we have a Heavenly Father. And that is a wonderful thing. That is a great thing. That is something we take for granted so often that we miss the point that not only when we're celebrating Father's Day and we're excited about their earthly fathers and we want to show our appreciation and our gratitude, and I am very thankful. I already spoke to my dad this morning and talked to him about how much I enjoyed and appreciated him, and I registered that. And he told me he thought that I was being a good father also, and that meant a lot for my dad. But here we can walk in the ways of our Heavenly Father. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 12, verses 29 through 32. Luke 12, verses 29 through 32. And it says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, I think it's really neat here because in this passage of Scripture, you see at the end of verse number 32, he says, "your fathers." And you see what it says in verse number 30, "your Father knoweth." I don't know about you, but that is something that's special. He is our Father. He is someone that we can look to. Yes, He is God of the universe. Yes, He is sovereign. Yes, He is all powerful. Yes, He's all those things. But what He expects out of us as a Father, He's saying that He is able to be also our spiritual Father. I don't know about you, but He's my Father. And I'm excited about that. And in this, it is a personal relationship. It is something that's being said that when an unbeliever comes to a saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, he is born again. At that instant, that person is brought into a very personal relationship with the God of the universe. In fact, that newly redeemed sinner is actually adopted into the family of God. And that word adoption means to be placed as a son. They instantly become a child of God in heaven. And you see that adoption that is brought into that family has the same rights of anyone who is born into that family. So what the Bible is saying there is that when we become a Christian, we actually become a son of God. We are a child of God. And because we are a child of God, guess what? Now we can walk in the ways of our Father. We can walk in the ways of our Heavenly Father. We don't have to walk in the ways of our earthly fathers that may disappoint us, that may fail us. And praise the Lord for those fathers that are doing what's right, and that God could look at Solomon and say to Solomon, "Hey, look, the way that David walked after me, he followed my commandments. You follow him so because he followed after me." And that is our goal. But what is it that we need to look at in the idea of walking after our Heavenly Father? It's a personal relationship. It's a profound relationship. This is a remarkable thing when you stop and consider it. We take it for granted so often, but think about it. How great is it that a lost sinner who was God's enemy, that was a slave to the world, a slave to the flesh, a slave to the devil, a lost sinner who was doomed and condemned for all eternity in hell, and the sad fact that every person in this entire world that has not been saved, that's in that lost condition, can call out to God and be saved by God's amazing grace is a fantastic thing. But then to consider, not only are we saved by His grace, we are placed inside of His family, and we are now not just a saved person, we are a member, a child of God. I don't know about you, but that is something that is amazing. That we were lost, we were dying, we were going to hell, and He saves us. But not only does He save us, He makes us His child. Not only does He make us His child, we become joint heirs together with Christ. I tell you, that is a profound relationship. That is something that we should be excited about. But so often, so long, we've gotten so used to it, it doesn't even matter to us anymore. It doesn't affect us anymore that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. Not only can we have an amazing relationship, He makes us able to walk in His ways. This morning, if you're here and you do not know our Heavenly Father, let me encourage you that you are lost and you're in need of Christ. Not only are you in need of Christ, that it's the point that Jesus Christ saw your need and He came to this world and He died for your sins. So He paid your penalty for you so you could go to heaven if you will repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is a personal relationship that only you and the Father can have through His Son. Not anyone else can't do it for you. I would do it for other people if I could, but you can't. It's a personal relationship. It's profound in the fact that what happens to us? Lost sinners on the way to hell, taken off that pathway and put on the pathway to heaven. But Not only is that one of the benefits is that we can now walk in the ways of our Father. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." So I'd like to give you just a few things very quickly how we can walk in the ways of our fathers. There's a couple things in these verses here I like to bring out. Look what it says in verses 29 through 32 again. "And seek not ye that what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things to the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things." The first thing I want you to see is that He is aware of our needs. That God our Father is aware of our needs. I think that is an important thing that many times Christians overlook. Many times we forget. Sometimes we feel like God has left us high and dry. God has put us in a spot and He's left us and He doesn't even know what we're going through. But the wonderful thing is that this passage of Scripture is saying it's your Father. He knoweth that you have need of these things. He already knows what you need. I tell you, as an earthly father, if we want to walk in His ways, I think we need to understand the needs of our family. I think it's important to try to understand and love our families to the point where we recognize the needs. Sometimes maybe the shortcomings. Sometimes the things where we can help. As a father, we can be a leader and we can be ahead by being a servant leader to our family and recognizing the needs and trying to help fulfill those needs instead of trying to add on more problems to that need. Not only do you see that He's aware of our needs, He is able to meet our needs. Look what it says here in verse 31. It says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." You say, "Pastor, I got you there." Yes, maybe we should be aware of our needs, but how can I meet my family's needs? Well, the Bible says that here, if you'll be a father that will seek God first, and you'll put the kingdom of God first, you know what He says? He says that He will give you those things. All these things shall be added unto you. So it's the idea of what relationship are you bringing to your children's family and to your children and to your family? Are you seeking God first and saying, "God, I am counting on You. I am trusting You to take care of my needs." How wonderful is it that if you have a need in your family, maybe a financial need, maybe some type of need, a spiritual need or an emotional need or something that you like to see happen, and as a family you get together and you begin praying, you begin seeking God's face and you begin putting Him first in your family, and your family sees that prayer answered. That is what changes children's minds about a God that can do all things. You can sit there and talk and say over and over that God parted the Red Sea, that God caused a worldwide flood. But when God does something in their lives, it changes everything. Something that they've been praying for, something that they've been seeking, they put God first and see God answer the prayer. Also, I think you see here that He is available to meet our needs. Not only is God aware of our needs and He has the power to help, this is a wonderful truth, but He is a God who is near His children. His power does us no good if He's not available to us. But in verse 32, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure." Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This word good pleasure means to choose, to determine, to be ready, to be well pleased with, to do which seems good. God is determined to be ready to do that which is good for His children. This implies that He makes Himself available to us. He is available to each of us. Isn't it wonderful that when we have a need, we have a Father we can go to? We don't have to go to some pie in the sky or some mean God in the sky like so many people like to paint the picture. We have a Father who loves us, who knows our needs, who is able to fill our needs, and He is available for us. And I tell you, earthly fathers, and we need to be available for our families. We need to be available for our wives. We need to be available for our children. Now, I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm not talking about being slothful. I'm not talking about being a slugger and not taking part of the other responsibilities you have. But one of the greatest, if not the greatest responsibility you have, is your family, and you need to be available for them. There are a couple other things I'd like to think about before we finish. And walking in His ways. I think it'd be good if we would walk in His ways of long suffering. We walk in His ways of long suffering. The Bible says in Numbers 14:18, "The Lord is long suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." The Bible says in Psalms 86:15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long suffering and plenteous and mercy and truth." Psalms 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. It's just saying that if we're going to be the right type of father, we need to have that, what we saw in Psalms 86, 15, mercy and truth. We desire God's mercy. We seek God's mercy. We beg for God's mercy. And as a father, sometimes we need to demonstrate mercy. We need to demonstrate patience and long-suffering with our children. And so way we can help raise them after the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember, they see you many times is how they see God too. We need to be long-suffering. Also, we must walk in His way of righteousness and being just. In His way of righteousness and being just. Does this mean that God is never merciful because He is righteous and just? No. The point is, He is merciful and just in His righteousness. Abraham proclaimed, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" God said, God can't say, "Let's just let everyone into heaven." He violates His justice this way. But God can be just and merciful in the fact that He sent His Son down the cross to die for us. God's compassion flows out of His goodness. His goodness without justice is not good. God spares us because He is good, but He could not be good if He was not just. The Bible says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." This is something we got to get and understand as a parent. Some of us, hey, we tend to lean a little bit on being too merciful. We tend on being a little bit too passive. And because we're too passive, we let our children go and rebel. And other times we tend to be too judgmental and we tend to be too hard. And because of that, they'll rebel. We must learn to walk after the ways of our Heavenly Father, who is not only merciful and long-suffering, but also righteous and also just. You say, how can you ever learn how to do that? You got to get close to Him. You got to learn about Him. You got to be walking in His ways. Justice means sin must be paid for. Mercy demonstrates Christ died for us. Think about what the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a beautiful picture of the mercy and the truth of God, the justice of God is that the wages of sin is death. It must be paid for, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, which shows us mercy. As a parent, we must learn how to handle our children the way God handles us, pities us at times. At times we are needing chastisement. At times we need rebuke. But at times we need the loving hand of God on our hearts so we can demonstrate that to our children. We also need to walk in His way of love. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." Isn't that wonderful? That's demonstrating how wonderful His love is. And this is the last one. This is the one I was trying to get to. Because I know we know so much about the love, the justice, the mercy. But I think we need to walk in His way of hope. One thing I love about our God is that He gives us hope. When all else in the world will try to push us down and push us back, we can always find hope in our God. He is able to do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. He is able to do anything, even those things that are above anything that we would ask or think. When we think that all the world's gone and everything's horrible and everything's bad, we can have that blessed hope that someday Christ is going to return, and nobody can take that away from us. There's a couple of verses in the Bible, and it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And one thing I think we need to do as parents is not to sit there and teach our children and try to push them down and provoking them to anger, but instead we need to teach them that we have hope with Jesus Christ. There is hope for their lives. With what God can do with your life is something special. Now, they might struggle with a certain sin. We need to discipline them. We need to chastise them. We need to do whatever it is to bring them around to the Lord, but show them hope. Teach them that they can have victory over that sin. Teach them that they can have victory because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. Teach them that there is always hope when God is involved. That there is always hope because of what Jesus Christ has done. Now, the hope, the Bible, the dictionary says this, to have a wish to get something or a wish to have something for to happen, especially something that might not be something that might be likely or possible. But see, the hope the Bible talks about is a deep, settled confidence in God and that God will keep His promises. The Bible over and over talks about this hope. It says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I tell you, sometimes we gotta, instead of beating our kids down and saying, you're never gonna amount to anything, you're never gonna be able to accomplish anything, you're gonna have to fix this, or you're never gonna do what's right, we need to say, you know what, you can do it through Jesus Christ. You know what God can do with your life? They might be discouraged and they might say, well, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. We need to give them hope. And that's why I think the Bible said to these fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke not your children to anger. It's because sometimes we will tend to try to upset them or make them angry and not care about the fact that they still have hope and that there is a way on that sin, and there is a way to help to have confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be able to do something that they might not know that they can do, because sometimes they've never seen it in their earthly parents. If they don't see us having victory over sin, if they don't see us growing in our Christian walk, if they're going to follow down our pathways, if they're going to walk the steps of us, then how are they going to know about that hope? There is hope in Jesus Christ. General Douglas MacArthur said, when I am gone, I do not want to be remembered as a great general. He said, I want to be remembered as a Christian father who read the Bible and prayed with his children. I began thinking a little bit about what I want to be remembered as. And simply put, what I like to be remembered as is a person who loved the Lord and a person who taught his family to love God too. You know, I don't need acclimates. I don't need titles. I just want people to see that we love the Lord here at our church. That's our desire. That's my desire. I want to walk in His ways so my children can walk in my ways. I don't know about you, but that's convicting. But the only way they're going to walk in my ways is when I can learn to walk in His ways. He's available to us. He's able to meet our needs. And through us, God can use us to meet the needs of our family. He is also available to us too. Not only that, but he walks with justice and righteousness. Not only that, he is long-suffering and patient. He loves us, but he is also someone who demonstrates hope. When you have children at home today, encourage them. Encourage them to love the Lord. Encourage them that you never know what God can do with a life that is committed to him and submitted to him. And then show them through your walk that God can do something special too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. This morning, if your child or someone was following down your pathway, they were walking in your way.